Welcome to episode 470 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard, and this is the show where we talk about consumer entertainment technology. Yep, just me tonight. No Richard. He is away on travel for work this week. Hopefully he'll be back. Well, I know he'll be back from travel soon. I'm sure he'll be around for the next episode. But we'll just get right into this because we've got some listener feedback. We've got a bunch of news. We've got a contest to let you guys all know about so that you can get some free goodies over at the DMZ. But first off, the listener feedback. This was sent in to us at our email inbox at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. This is from Gary. See, Gary's a close listener. Gary recognizes that you all share a lot of the same first names. So he specified, this is Gary from AUS, not USA. I like that. He says, listening to this, I couldn't help ruminating on Rune and Tidal integration. For all of you Americans, or basically anybody not in Australia, or I don't know, anybody else like me who's never heard of Rune, just keep listening. He'll kind of explain what it is. Gary says, in Rune's case, the efficient database functionality Rune's audiophile credentials and hi-fi devices marries well with Tidal's catalog, but Rune lacks video and therefore cries out for a marriage with local or cloud DVR and streaming service. Plex and Rune are both annual or lifetime subscription models. So it maybe doesn't do the best job explaining what it is. He probably just assumes that we know. Rune is, and this is spelled R-O-O-N, is a service that it looks like you install it on your computer and it looks through your local music library or integrates with Tidal. And that's where this message is really coming from, because on the last episode, we talked about how Tidal was partnering with Plex to integrate the two services together. Rune already kind of does this. And basically what they do, it looks like, is they take your library, your music library specifically, it's just music, and gives you a really nice app for it. So instead of it just being like the boring iTunes library, the boring Windows Media Player interface, you get a really pretty interface with lots of interesting artwork and other information to make your music listening experience more enjoyable. It also has a bunch of built-in functionality for connecting to other music playback devices, and we're talking high-end audio devices here, and things that support Apple AirPlay and things like that. But it's mostly targeted at audiophiles, people who are spending a lot of money on music stuff. All right, now to go back to his message, he says, I have JRiver for the audio, TV, and DVR reasons. Also, it's cheaper. And JRiver's latest iteration that I've not bought since they are a version-based license model has set up a radio service as well, but has always had integration with podcasting and vodcasting and internet streaming. For me, it works better than Kodi solutions. In the US, you have more opportunities for multi-format cocktail media solutions, but anywhere else has to do stuff like this. In a circular way, we are heading back to Media Center add-ons model that Microsoft was so silly to shutter and should have never left. Maybe Amazon, Google, and Apple, with their operating systems, devices, and services, can nut out global content deals, agree on formats and support, so we can all enjoy a truly global offering. First world problem, world peace. Is how he describes that. I like that. Thank you, Gary, from the land down under for your message. Thank you for opening my eyes to Rune. It certainly is a unique product, but that pricing, wow. It's over $100 a year or $500 for a lifetime subscription to this application. And it seems like it's basically just a really nice music library player software that also has support for connecting to other devices. That's a lot of money. That is a big, big ask for something that's just your music. But if all you care about is music, or if that's your main focus, then maybe Rune is something that some of our listeners might want to check out. Before we get into the news, I want to tell you all, in case you haven't seen it, we have a contest going on over at the Digital Media Zone. We are giving away two Google Home Mini speakers. I don't remember the ridiculous names for the colors, but it's basically one that's white and one that's black. You're going to get both of them if you win this contest, and it's super easy to enter the contest. There'll be a link here in the show notes, so there's no reason not to go and enter this contest, and hopefully you'll have two more Google smart speakers in your house, or maybe these will be the first two because you haven't had a chance to check out what all the buzz is on these smart speakers. I think you're going to like these, so go and enter the contest. You've basically got nothing to lose here. Okay, so let's get on with our news this week. Unlike last week, we actually have video news to discuss. And similarly to most weeks, a lot of this video news, in fact, all of it, is Plex news. But that's good. So Plex has received a couple of big updates in the last week or so. The first one is for you Roku users. You are finally getting the new user interface that we've come to know. I'm not sure that I would say know and love, because we definitely have some things that we don't love about it. But the new interface that we've got on Xbox and some other platforms have already received this. There's some things here to like, but there's also some functionality here. Even if you're not one to care about what the app really looks like, there's new functionality to appreciate. The biggest, of course, being live TV and DVR functionality finally available on the Roku. So I have a feeling there's some of you out there who have been waiting for exactly this, because Roku has huge market penetration, lots and lots and lots of Roku users out there. So I think this is a pretty big deal. Those aren't the only new features. If you're a Plex Pass user, you can also try out that new subtitle functionality that we talked about a couple of episodes ago. That's where Plex will basically automatically go out and find the best subtitles for you based on the language that you choose. No longer do you have to go out and try to find the right subtitle files and manage all of that on your own. Plex will just do it for you. But again, right now, that's still only available to Plex Pass subscribers. If you're not a Roku user for your Plex, but instead an Apple TV user, you've also got a big new update. The user interface doesn't look drastically different. Nope. Instead, you're getting a new video player. And this is a pretty big deal, because up until now on Apple TV, Plex has just used the built-in ATV player. So it's Apple's video player, which means that while it works pretty seamlessly, it doesn't support a whole lot of containers and video codecs. Plex has written their own and incorporated it into Apple TV, and that means you can basically play back anything now. I mean, maybe it's not everything, but looking at the list of supported codecs and containers, there weren't any in there that jumped out at me as like missing. All of the biggies are in there. MKV, HEVC, H.264, MP4, like everything. Everything that you're using most likely is now available through this player. And you might be saying, yeah, but that all worked before. The difference here is that it now works without having to transcode on your server. So if your Plex server is not all that powerful and you've been dealing with, now I have to reconvert all of my stuff over to a different container or a different codec just so that it works with my Apple TV. Well, maybe you don't, because go and check out this post. Most of your stuff is probably going to work. There are a couple of things that aren't there yet. The live TV playback functionality, it's still using the old AV player. News and web shows still use that, but you know, that's not stuff that you really have control over. It still also uses AV player if you're trying to watch HDR video, But that's another thing that they're working on with their own video player. And then also any interlaced video or anything that has to be transcoded and direct streamed, that still uses the AV player. That's the original built-in Apple TV player. The new one might not be available to you just yet. As Plex normally does with new and experimental features, it's only available to Plex Pass subscribers right now, and it's an early access preview. So if you're a Plex Pass user, you're going to have to go in and turn this on, but you can also turn it off if you experience any problems. And if you do experience any problems, do them a favor and really do yourself and the rest of us a favor and tell Plex what your problem was. The post that we're going to link to here in the show notes tells you exactly how to file any bug reports with Plex so that they can get this stuff working better for all of us. In addition to expanded container and codec support, you're going to get a couple more features too. For example, you're going to be able to see seek thumbnails. So when you're fast forwarding and rewinding through video, you'll get little thumbnails of where it's at in the video, which is really nice for quickly being able to find exactly where it is you want to get to while fast forwarding through a video. You're also going to get what they wrote as proper audio and subtitle switching during playback. I don't know exactly what that means, especially since I'm not an Apple TV user. Maybe Richard, if he were here, could talk to this, but it sounds to me like if you were watching a video and you wanted to switch the audio format or subtitles, that it would maybe have to rebuffer or something like that. It sounds like all of that is nice and smooth with the new video player. So you're definitely going to want to check this out if you have an Apple TV and you're a Plex user. The next category that we typically cover is audio. And this time around, this is audio news, but I'm going to kind of mix it up with some kind of weird stuff going on here. So the actual story here is that over at the Xbox Wire, this is the main news site from Microsoft for Xbox stuff, they posted a big article talking about Spotify's new and improved experience on Xbox One. And I saw this article and thought, wait, didn't they just do this a couple weeks ago? Yeah, they did. I'm not sure why this is now suddenly news, because the only thing that I could see since this post was released is that now the Cortana stuff that they talked about before actually works. Everything else that's mentioned in this article is stuff that was already there when we reported on this a couple of episodes ago. So if you want all the details, well, I guess you could click on the show notes or go back and listen to our show a couple weeks ago. The Cortana functionality working is a really welcome addition. Now you can ask Cortana on your Xbox to play an artist, and if Spotify is your default audio service registered inside of Cortana, then it'll work sometimes. Yeah, I mean, this kind of pains me, and I know it's going to pain some of you listeners to hear me talk about this, but it's still not great. I asked it to play Counting Crows. I tried to pick a fairly easy artist for it to understand, and the first time I said it, Cortana didn't, I don't know, maybe I didn't wait long enough to start talking after I used the key phrase, but it basically did nothing. I then said the key phrase, waited at least 2 or 3 seconds before it seemed like it was really paying attention, asked it to play Counting Crows on Spotify. It recognized it and said, all right, let's play Counting Crows on Spotify. And it opened up the Spotify app and then did nothing. It didn't play Counting Crows. So I said it again. And that time it played it. And I thought, really, does this not work if the Spotify app is closed? So I closed down the app and said it again. And I had basically the same experience. And then I tried it again and then it worked. So it's not great. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. When it works, it's nice to have. When it doesn't work, it's super frustrating. And these voice assistants, they need to work more than 90% of the time, or else most people are going to get super frustrated. And in my short test with it, it was about 50%, and that's not anywhere near good enough. It's interesting that we're talking about this today, because also today, news hit the wires that it looks like Microsoft has figured out, finally, I hate you all who have been listening for a while know that I hate when news media overly uses the word finally. But in this case, Microsoft finally looks like they're getting around to supporting multiple users on Cortana devices. And in this case, it's actually sounding pretty good, because Cortana devices means pretty much all of them. It's not just the Harman Kardon Invoke. It looks like it's going to work on the Xbox, which is a big deal if you still have a Kinect, although it'll work through a headset, but multi-user support through headsets doesn't make as much sense. But Harman Kardon Invoke, Xbox, phones, and Windows 10 PCs all look to be getting multi-user support soon. And by multi-user support, I mean multiple people in your house can talk to these devices and it'll recognize who's talking to them. This is really, really important functionality for these smart speakers to have. And it's kind of insane to me that it's just now coming. But when I think about the fact that it seemed like Microsoft was giving up on Cortana altogether, then maybe it just stands to reason that it took this long, because maybe they scaled back their development team that was working on it. I'm not really sure, but for those of you who like Cortana, I think this is good news, because A, it's a really important feature to have, and B, it means that Cortana isn't actually dead, even though some of us thought that it probably was, and maybe even more people thought that it probably should be. I'm not really in that camp yet. I mean, it may sound like I am. I don't hate Cortana. I just think that it's a distant third in some really key areas, like this multi-user support, like multi-device music streaming. I'm pretty sure that if I had multiple Harman Kardon Invokes, or even just the Invoke and the Xbox, I couldn't get them both to play the same music at the same time. You can do that on Google Home. You can do that on Amazon's Echo devices. It's important, and I'm pretty sure Cortana still doesn't do it. All that being said, the Harman Kardon Invoke is a really nice speaker. When we did our review of it, we really liked the sound quality. Maybe not quite as much as the original Google Home, not the Mini. It's way better than the Mini and the Echo Dots and things like that. But at the time, it was $200, and it was really hard to recommend a smart speaker that, while it sounded good, lacked all of the functionality of its competitors and was more expensive than all of them. That's not really true anymore, as Harman Kardon seems to, I mean, frankly, it seems like they're trying to just clear these things out of inventory. The price has gone down drastically. Right now, you can get a Harman Kardon Invoke for $60 on Amazon with 2-day Prime shipping. That's a crazy awesome price for a speaker that sounds really good. Even if you don't care about Cortana, it's a good sounding speaker that if you're a Spotify user, you can still use Spotify Connect with, or just use your voice. And on the Invoke, it does a good job of listening to your voice and playing the artist or album or whatever it is that you're looking for right away. It's not at all like that experience that I described a couple minutes ago on the Xbox One. So if you're just looking for another nice speaker to mostly play music from, not Pandora, because yeah, I'm pretty sure Pandora still isn't supported here, but Spotify is, and I think some of the other services are, but let's be honest, you all know that I'm a big time Spotify user. $60 is hard to beat for what that speaker offers. So if you're just looking for another room where you really just want to listen to music on one of these speakers and maybe do the occasional, you know, ask it a question about how many days until Christmas, or when is, I don't know, when is Abraham Lincoln's birthday, or, you know, all of the random questions that we ask these things, it's still good at that. It just doesn't have all of the other integrations that you may be looking for. All right, on to a little bit of gaming news. All of this, and by all of this, I really only mean two stories here. So if you're not into gaming, don't worry, this won't take long. But these are worth mentioning. They're both from the Xbox side of the house. First off, Game Pass. Xbox Game Pass has a bunch of games coming this month. And we don't normally talk about the games that are coming out on Game Pass because usually it's just a few. And there's usually not that many like big name announcements. But this month, Xbox Game Pass is killing it. You're getting Mortal Kombat X, or I guess it's 10. I really hate this X versus 10 thing. What is it, guys? Is it a 10 or is it the letter X? I think in this case, it's 10. Ashen, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, Below, Ori and the Blind Forest, a ton of awesome games, all coming to Xbox Game Pass in the month of December, and it's still only $9.99 a month. There is absolutely no reason at this point not to get Xbox Game Pass. I know when it first came out, I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure that I really need this. But in the months since it first came out, they've obviously had the announcement of releasing all Microsoft first-party games day and date in Xbox Game Pass. So that's meant that Forza Horizon 4 was available as soon as it came out. So is Sea of Thieves. All of these games available as soon as they come out. The same release date available on Game Pass. And now you're getting tons of awesome third-party games too. So this is great. I'm a Game Pass subscriber now, and I don't see myself canceling that subscription anytime soon with the way that this is continuing to roll out. And it sort of related story. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is Microsoft is doing a new promo for December called ID at Xbox's Winter of Arcade. Now, you longtime Xbox fans, you know what this sounds like, right? It's the Summer of Arcade back from, oh man, was that like 2010, 2011 maybe? Back on the Xbox 360 days when they really, really hit their stride with the Xbox Live Arcade games. And they did an event called Summer of Arcade, and it featured some huge, huge games that all came out during that summer. And this is the same sort of thing. Now, it's a different season, and the program is now called ID at Xbox for all of their independently developed games that are arriving on the platform. But they're releasing 9 new games in December, and a bunch of them, in fact, some of the best ones, are available in Game Pass. Ashen, it's out now. It's already out. It's a Souls-like. If you're into these difficult Dark Souls-style games, check it out. It's available now. Below, coming in just a couple of days. In fact, by the time you're hearing this, it's probably either coming out tomorrow or it's already out because it's coming out at the end of this week. Below is a game that got announced 5 years ago and people lost their minds about it. It's a game from Capybara Games. It's a roguelike with some really interesting twist. It looks really cool and it's part of Game Pass, so there's no reason not to check it out. Mutant Year Zero looks really cool. So does Kingdom Two Crowns. And again, all of those, that's just 4 of them, 4 of the 9, but 4 of the biggest ones available on Game Pass for free if you're already a subscriber. Some of the other ones worth mentioning, Subnautica, Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek, and one of the biggest mobile games of the year, Donut County. Yeah, it's a weird name, and the description of it being a story-driven physics puzzle game? Yeah. I mean, it sounds weird, but people are losing their minds about Donut County. It seems like a really cool game. And to entice you a little bit more to actually go out and purchase some of these games, Microsoft is going to give you a $5 gift card for every one of these games that you purchase after the first one. It's really weird wording. What I think it means is if you buy one game, you're not getting a gift card. If you buy 2 games, you're getting a gift card for buying the second one. And for you know, the other 7 games that you could purchase, it's a $5 gift card. So you could get $40 back from purchasing all of these, but you're obviously going to spend way more than $40 purchasing all of these because most of these games are, you know, between $10 and $20. Either way, there's a lot of really cool games coming to the Xbox One right now, and a bunch of them are on Game Pass. So seriously, you owe it to yourself to check out Xbox Game Pass if you still haven't. That's it for our news. So we're going to jump into the segment where we talk about what we've been watching, what we've been playing, and what we've been tinkering with in our entertainment centers. Not a whole lot of tinkering going on with me lately. Been a little too busy for anything like that. But a little bit of TV. Got caught up on The Good Place. Season 3, it's been an okay season. It's not been the greatest season, but this most recent episode, so good. Basically made up for the rest of the season. It was that good. So funny. The bad news is it's now on hiatus until January, and there's only, I think, 2 more episodes, maybe 3 in January before it's done for the season. So that's sad. But man, this episode was so good. I think it's okay. That's it for stuff I watched. No other TV shows, no other movies, a couple of Penguins hockey games, no college football, obviously, since that's done until the bowl games start. But definitely did play some games, played a little bit more Lost Odyssey. I continue to work through that very long, but oh, so good Japanese role-playing game from the Xbox 360. Also did check out Ashen. I mentioned that game as one of the new ID at Xbox games that's included with Game Pass. I've never played a Dark Souls type game. They're hard. Ashen's hard. I don't know if this is the game for me. I'm not sure that, like, people talk about how frustrating these types of games can be. I didn't find it that frustrating. I wasn't about to smash my controller, which is what some people say they do when they play these style of games. But if you're looking for a challenging third-person action game, check out Ashen. It does seem pretty cool. Played one more game. Can't say anything about it. It was Anthem. Their closed alpha was this weekend. Anthem is, of course, BioWare's big game coming out in February, I think it is. It's basically like Destiny, but made by BioWare and still in that futuristic, you know, sci-fi universe. So it's kind of like Mass Effect as a Destiny-style game, shared world shooter, third person for the most part, but I can't tell you how good it was or if I had any problems or anything like that because under NDA on that one, but I did play it. So I think I can at least tell you that I did play it. And there is a public beta that should be coming in early February that everybody can play, and then we'll all be able to talk about it. So I look forward to that because Anthem is one of my most anticipated games of next year. My biggest problem is perhaps my other most anticipated game is The Division 2. Same style of game. And they come out within a month of each other. I don't want two of this type of game at the same time. I feel like I'm going to have to decide, and I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to make that decision just yet. So here's hoping for more betas and early access to both of those games, because it's probably going to be hard to choose. That's it for what I've been playing. One more reminder about that contest. Head on over to thedigitalmediazone.com and enter our contest to win 2 Google Home mini speakers for free. As long as you're in the continental U.S., we don't really want to deal with shipping to, you know, the other side of the world. So sorry, Gary from AUS, you're not eligible. But keep sending in those messages because they're great. So head on over there for that contest and our show notes for everything that we talked about here on this episode and all of our contact information. But because I love Twitter so much, I'll include that for free without you having to go over there. I'm at Josh Pollard. Richard is at Richard Gunther. And the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook. We've got some other podcasts for you to check out. Richard's Other Show, Home On, covering the latest smart home news. And Story Players, still around. We're still working on that episode of Life is Strange, Season 2, Episode 1. The goal is to have that out before Christmas, before the end of the year. So we want to get that done because in the last week, they announced that episode 2 is coming in January and episode 3 of the final season of The Walking Dead also coming in January. So we've got to get this episode done so that we can get ready for those two games and record those for you. So if you like story-based video games, Story Players is your ultimate video game spoiler cast. Go and check that out. And then, of course, join us as we record this show, Entertainment 2.0, live. Usually, we didn't this week. It was just me. And sometimes it's just easier to do this not live. But normally live Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Although, unfortunately, maybe not next week. Keep an eye on Twitter to know for sure. Next week, it's tough. You all know how tough December is. There is so much going on for everybody in December. So next week, still up in the air. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure if it's going to happen and if it's going to have a live show for you to join in on, because that's going to do it for episode 470. I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.